Hey, you want to see something really scary?
What's your favorite scary movie?
I'm going to scare the hell out of you.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
What's blood for, if not for shedding?
Welcome to Fright Night.
Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Shed.
This week we're covering Sting.
Charlotte!
Hey there, little guy. We're gonna call you Sting. Cool.
Okay.
The lights are glowing.
Hey, Mom.
Excitement's growing in the house tonight. Whatever your mood, you're gonna lose your blues tonight.
What the hell happened to it?
Rats.
Nasty?
Could a spider grow in a couple of hours?
The stars in the sky. Shining on the house tonight.
There is noise.
Problem with doors?
Now we have to deal with this together.
Not a film about the lead singer of The Police.
No. That was The Bride. And wow. Everyone has forgotten about that movie. With good reason.
Yeah, I never saw it, so I don't know. I have no idea, but I know what you're talking about.
It's not great.
Okay, well, this movie, on the other hand, we'll have to wait to find out if it was great or not. To the end of our podcast, so you have to sit through this whole thing.
Yeah.
This was written and directed by K. Roche Turner.
Yep, and the stars of it, you have Aaliyah Brown as Charlotte. Ryan Kaur as her stepfather, Ethan. Penelope Mitchell as her mother, Heather. And coming in at the very beginning and making an appearance at the end again is Jermaine Fowler as Frank the Exterminator, who frankly should have got paid overtime for this job.
Heck yeah. I'm going to tell you, I saw the trailer for this and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be skipping this movie. I cannot watch this because I do have arachnophobia. To some extent, and
it's not just spiders, it's all bugs, folks. Let's be honest here.
I have bugophobia.
Yeah, bug movies are not her thing.
I'm mad about the bug movies, especially when they're like 100 times their size.
Which is worse for you, if they're giant, or if there's just millions of them, but they're tiny?
Both.
Either one's equally bad.
Like, yeah, they're just as bad.
So one giant cockroach is as bad as 1,000 little cockroaches?
You know, it's one of those things, like the giant cockroach. I would just die in fear right there. The millions of them, I guess I would try to fight them or stomp on them. You know, I don't know. I would be paralyzed with fear either way. So either one is not a good scenario.
I feel like the giant cockroach, you see it coming. You know where it's at a little more. You might be able to run and hide from it. The millions of little ones. They're coming in cracks, windows, doors. They're coming through the vents of your car. They're coming after you. The big cockroach, yes, you're going to die horribly while he eats you alive. But at least you'll be able to hide from him a little better.
But you still see it right off the bat, and that's already terrifying right there. Like, the fact that you have to see it, like, that's, like, the worst fear. Like, something you already fear in a small scale, and now it's, like, way larger than you are. That's terrifying. That's I can't even speak because the thought of it is just freaking me the fuck out. So no, do not like it. So I was not going to be watching this film, but you know, things fall into your lap and then you're like, you know what, fine, I'm gonna put my fears aside for the sake of the podcast, and here we are.
Yes, and are you glad you watched it now?
I am glad that I watched it. I am glad. It is, one would think, oh, this is like any other film that has anything to do with spiders. But there was a slight twist with this one.
Yes.
Which you get off right at the beginning. I don't know if they show this in the trailer, if anyone has seen the trailer or has even stuck around to like see the rest of the trailer, if you do have bugophobia or arachnophobia. But this spider, there was a comet coming to Earth and
the spider hitched a ride.
Hitched a ride on it and just landed in an apartment building. Which you're like, okay, how? But you'll have to see the movie. But the opening of this, I thought was very clever. I really liked it. Spider...
When it comes to Earth, it is very small at first. And there's a very clever scene where it lands in the apartment building and it's in an apartment and it's in a dollhouse. And it's moving through the dollhouse room to room. And, you know, the little spider looks gigantic compared to all the furniture in the dollhouse. So it was a really great, like, contrast of how big the spider was going to get later. You know, now you're like, oh, he's a little spider in... But he looks huge in that room. Later on, you're going to see the spider grow and he's going to be big in the same kind of room. She's going to be huge like that. So it was really cool.
It's like the Alice in Wonderland of spiders.
Yeah, he went on a trip for sure.
Yeah.
This is another thing I like about this is they found a way that, you know, most of the spider movies or bug movies where there is a, you know, people are trapped somewhere. So you always have the thought of, well, why don't they just leave? Just get out of there. This one at least comes up with, hey, besides everything else that's going on with the crazy bug, it's a horrible winter storm out there. We've got snow up to the doors of the cars, practically. They said 45-mile-per-hour winds. It's going to be a rough blizzard out there, so there's going to be no, you know, busting out of the house and going for help right away.
No, and, you know, with that kind of weather, there's probably not going to be anyone that's going to come to you if the roads are blocked.
Yeah, if you call the police and the winds are more than 40 miles an hour, they tell you not to worry about it. Just wait till the winds die down. They'll come then.
Yeah, don't die right now. Just hold on.
Can you just wait a little while? It'll be better later. So, being in Florida, we've experienced that. Like, no, the emergency services do not come out once the wind hits 40 miles an hour.
So, yeah, you know, what's so funny that I was so into the spider in the film that I totally didn't even notice, but the whole storm part. I was just so focused on the damn spider. Now, you know, I always find it interesting when there's a child and the child either comes upon some kind of bug or, you know, or has a bug, you know, in its room or whatever, and they just pick it up and befriend it, like, oh, hello, long lost friend, and they're not freaked the fuck out. I don't, where's this kid? Like, this kid exists? I mean, obviously.
To be fair, she was named Charlotte. So yes. She was probably going to feel a kinship to some spiders.
Yeah, her name was Charlotte. Yes, it was. But to be fair, also, Charlotte is the name of the spider in Charlotte's Web.
That's what I'm saying.
I know, but the little girl, like...
Yeah, she's Charlotte, so the name after the spider, she feels kinship to spiders.
I guess.
Although they probably didn't name her after the spider, but I'm going with that.
Okay. Yeah, that was a cute little connection. Easter egg there. Easter egg, yeah. There's some Easter eggs in this film. And there's actual eggs in this film. There's eggs all over the place. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, this could be our Easter-esque episode for those of you that celebrate Easter. It's just obviously going to be out after the fact, but nonetheless. We didn't say at the beginning of the podcast that we have decided that this is going to be our creature feature month.
Yes.
Because we're going to be doing two films this month that deal with that subject.
One brand new one and one very old one.
Very, very old.
Older than me, even.
Wow. I like how you just threw that in there.
Yeah, I just threw myself under the bus on that one.
No, for real, you sure did. Now, you know, Charlotte, she befriends the spider, and, you know, like all kids, she's like, let me just put this in this matchbox, and then let me transfer it over to a jar, and we're going to become best friends.
I'm going to feed it the numerous cockroaches that are in this apartment building. I guess this is like a New York area apartment, so there's going to be cockroaches.
Okay, and now for those of you who are like, oh, well, that's an assumption because it's riddled with cockroaches. It has to be New York. No, it's actually, the film is supposedly set in Brooklyn somewhere. So, yes. And as a ex-New York native, born and half raised, yes, there are a lot of roaches.
Yeah, that you just can't get rid of them in New York. They're just everywhere.
It's horrifying. Later on, bed bugs would take over, but for the most part, roaches. So, yes, I also closed my eyes during... There was a lot of moments in the film where I did have to close my eyes because also, unlike other films within the same subject of spiders, this one I feel like was the most fucking gory. If you're into, like, bugs and you're into gore, this is the film for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of good insect horror in this, a lot of good gory... insect stuff, which explains, you know, as we were watching it, we were like, man, these are some really great spider effects on this. And at the end, we saw it with all the effects were done by Weta. By Weta, yeah.
Yeah, Weta so, FX.
Like, that's so like, oh, that explains that. And this is, I'm guessing, probably, you know, it was set in Brooklyn. I'm guessing it was probably filmed in Australia, New Zealand area, since they're doing the effects really from their area and all that. It was probably filmed down there. But yeah, they did a good job of just finding it. You know, you find a generic looking street that could be any big city with townhouses. You set the whole thing in the townhouse. That way you don't have to do like some of those like terrible giallo movies from the 70s would be like, they were driving around in cars. You could see all the cars with the steering wheel on the opposite side as people are passing it. And they pass a sign that says like, hey, McDonald's, half a mile. And you're like, oh no, they just threw that in. So it would look like they were in America, but they're clearly not.
McDonald's is not half a mile.
Yeah. It's not half a mile away. They were like, is that close? We don't even know. We have the metric system here.
Oh, my God. So, yes. Now, you have, you know, like in all things, the other thing that I found that kind of sets this film apart, which may or may not matter to those, that mostly everyone that lived in this building was related. That also was kind of weird. I don't know why. Well, no, actually, I do know why they did that to some extent. So, you know, in these kind of buildings, especially in New York, you have like the superintendent, you know, and then they're living there for free with their family, and they're taking care of the caretakers of the building. And the stepfather was the caretaker of the building, and he was being employed by the wives' grandmothers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were both the grandmothers, but one of them was definitely the grandmother. Maybe the other one was a sister. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was I think that was her
her sister?
Either her mom, and I think it was her mom and her sister.
Oh, okay. Well.
And obviously, you know, the one is very nice. You see right off the bat, she has either Alzheimer's, dementia, something's going on with her. And the other one is the complete polar opposite. She is the angry, stern old lady that refuses to pay for things. You know, she's yelling at everyone about not doing their jobs right. And she's very unpleasant.
Oh, she's very unpleasant. She looks amazing. She is wearing like one of those black, like, jacket skirt suits. And the eyeliner and eyeshadow is like raccoon style. And she has slicked, like, white, you know, hair up to her chin. I feel like also she had, like, the set of keys that, like, she had on her waist that she would be able to, like, pull out.
Oh, yeah.
She had something like that. Yeah, but she was very stern. And her poor sister, which the beginning of the film... you see that there, it's sad because, you know, she does have Alzheimer's. There's like sticky notes of like that say what her name is. And, she keeps calling exterminators, And unfortunately, she once one of them gets attacked by the spider, she calls another one because she immediately forgot what happened. So they kind of have that at the beginning, but then it kind of like trails off and we go back 4 days. So it's one of those where the beginning is actually the
middle
of the film, which I do like too, because it like leads up to the event. And then after, there's more to it. So you're just getting a little sneak peek, which I really, really liked as well. But, you know, there's a lot of like family dynamic stuff going on in the film, and you know that you find out the little girl, you know, is she's like a comic book writer, and she's kind of like co-writing with the stepfather, and it's kind of like loosely based, one of the characters is based on her like father, who she thought was like off in another country doing God knows what, but he actually abandoned the mom and her. You kind of find out later, but all that family dynamic stuff is happening while you have a spider that's growing. And that part kind of was kind of like gremlin-esque, because in a sense of, he was told not to feed, Gizmo after midnight.
Yeah.
And all she is doing is feeding this thing, and it's growing and growing until she takes it to someone else that lives in the building, who is like a scientist or whatnot, and like studies animals, and like I guess the behavior of animals and stuff like that. And he has like small animals and like fish in his apartment, and she kind of brings the spider over to him to like for him to look at, and he becomes obsessed with the spider, and he literally starts feeding it larger animals, and then hence like that's where we get the fucked up part of the movie, like where it starts really to pick up, because now this spider is eating, a lot more than cockroaches, and it's growing exponentially.
Yeah, this thing could have got real big real fast. Once it started eating the people, this thing was going to get even bigger.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. There are so many great shots, down to like the wide angle, the close-ups, just the way that the camera is telling the story in conjunction to
follows the spider around.
Yeah, what's happening is just very well done.
There was a couple of things in here that I really liked. There was a couple of jump scares that I had not seen before.
Oh yes,
you have one where someone is sitting and they see what looks like the spider. They jump back, turn the light on, and it's actually just the nest of cables around the computer.
Mm-hmm.
You have another one where you see the person jumps because they think they see the spider, and it's actually just a... Isn't that a spider plant is what they call those?
I think it was
a spider plant. Yeah, it's a spider plant hanging from the ceiling and just moving, and when you see the shadow, it looks like the spider.
Yeah.
Both of those were really clever. Because, the whole cat jump scare has been done to death, so it was always good to see some new ones pop in there.
Yeah, they were very clever jump scares, and they got you because you're like, oh, because it looks right off, and they're all just shadow play. And then you have like more traditional ones, I shouldn't say traditional, because it's not like the little girl has the capability of like she likes to travel in between, like in the buildings, like vents. And they're large enough for her to do that, of course, yeah, obviously.
Because these are movie vents, because they're always large enough for people to crawl around. These things are huge.
Yeah, they're like massive.
Grown men can crawl around inside these things. I always love that in the movies. I've never been in a building where the vents were big enough for grown people to crawl around in, much less they would support grown people crawling around in them, They don't typically build the air vents to hold 200 pounds of people crawling through them, because... Yeah. No one's supposed to be in there.
But I have a question for you, though. How many vents were you trying to get into, though?
That's neither here nor there.
Yes, she's crawling in the vent, so she's able to see, which I thought was a little weird. She's able to see, people in their apartment looking through the vent grates to their apartment, so they're she's and able that's to a see good some way
of
lives.
Kind of like a doing a rear window thing of like looking through the seeing a little bit of what's going on with the people and giving you a little hint of what's going on with their lives, what they're like,
yeah,
and
slight character
give you a little bit of character development without having to just come up with a reason for her to go and knock on each door or just randomly show us this. As she's passing by, we see it and we're like, oh, okay, I see. She's peeking in and she sees this guy and she sees this happening. She sees this woman. And you get a little, like I said, you get a little peek into everybody's life without having to, it just happens a little more organically than if you just had to go knock on the door and ask a question or something, yeah. You know?
Well, going back to the whole Ven thing, I will say that for those of you that have any kind of sensitivities to animals being harmed in the movie, now mind you, in Beauregard, obviously these are not actual animals that are being harmed. They didn't actually, you know, skin any animal and or have anyone, but there is a scene in the Vent that she comes across where a very cute, one of those flat-faced cats. And it's kind of strung up like, what's his face from Hellraiser?
Yeah, like Frank from Hellraiser.
Frank. It's Frank.
Frank the cat from Hellraiser, it's yeah.
Frank as a cat.
Yeah, it was a rough time for the cat.
And let me tell you, yeah, it was a rough time. The look on its face, and it's just like, oh. And then there's another scene with a parrot gets skinned alive. I mean...
Yeah, there's some terrifying stuff with the pets here. You know, the cat reminded me of, like, the cat from Reanimator.
Oh, when yes. When
they did that, yeah, like the crazy-looking cat and everything. And the bird was kind of like, it just looks like one of those. It looks like one on the cartoons where they blow the feathers off of all the birds. Yes. And they're just kind of standing there naked picking up the feathers. That's kind of what the bird reminded me of. It was a little bit of humor.
So, yeah, but the transition between, there was a transition between someone dying, I think it was the parrot, and the next trend, the transitions over to like some squeezing like ketchup onto some runny eggs, and then like close ups of people eating and their lips are greasy. That part like freaked me the fuck out. I was just like, this is the most disgusting transition ever. But also in the same regard, amazing.
Yeah, it was great. This is one of those ones. They did this in an episode of Game of Thrones where he was like working on someone, he was like pulling a scab off of the guy or something, then it cuts to the next scene of somebody eating something and you're like, oh no. There was also a very crazy one during The Walking Dead where someone was getting eaten alive, then they cut to commercial and it was a KFC commercial.
Wow.
I'm sure they did not plan this. It's literally a guy getting ripped apart by zombies, and then it like, as it fades away to black and cuts to the commercial and it cuts to KFC and people just biting into chicken and going on, you're like, ooh, that's not a good look, KFC, because that did not encourage me to eat KFC on that commercial.
Or were they like, wink, wink, KFC, man, out of people.
See, yeah, that's why they took the fried chicken out.
It's the people. Oh, there you go. You solved the mystery. Walking Dead, KFC.
Soylent chicken.
Conspiracy. No one was eating KFC in this movie. They were eating delicious runny eggs, though, with a lot of ketchup on them. But... yeah, I have to say that the one thing that does sadden me about this film is that I don't think it's going to get it like a huge theatrical release, if any, and...
It's getting a theatrical release.
It is going to get a theatrical release?
It's getting a theatrical release. It's coming out in theaters on April 12th.
Oh, wonderful. Everyone go see this movie, because...
This would be a great one to see theatrically with a crowd, because it's going to be a one where you're going to get people screaming, yelling, this would play great in a theater with everybody freaking out in there.
I don't know why I had in my mind it wasn't. I thought it was going to be like a limited release and then like streaming. But nevertheless, the whole point is go see the film. It is worth the watch. We thoroughly enjoyed it. It is. I'm not a gore person, but I have to say that this was like the perfect amount of gore. And if you have a fear of any kind of bug, like already, you know, you have your partner or anyone that's going with you, this is one of those, like, they're going to jump in your lap kind of moment. So, perfect date night film.
Yeah, this would be a good one for that.
And just overall, like, entertaining. And it does have, you know, a couple of jump scares. And overall, like, the effects are good. The story's good. And you may or may not, you know, see several, as I had noticed when I watched, alien references.
Yeah.
Because there are about three of them that I caught. And I thought that was, like, just paying homage. I don't know if that was coincidental. or if it's one of those where it was intentional, but certain things that happened in the film where I took them as homages for sure.
Yeah. I got a couple of those too. It was like, oh, I see what they're doing there. That's clever.
Yeah. You know, compared to other films like Arachnophobia or that one with David Arquette, that I can't remember.
Eight-Legged Freaks.
Wow, what a tongue twister right there.
Yeah, that was not easy to say.
I don't know where I would put this one. Oh, that other one that we saw, I think that was a spider one.
Itsy Bitsy,
which that one had the most research, realistic spider, like, movement and characterization. Yeah, they did a great job on that.
This one I'd say is up there with it. I think this one's definitely top tier. I hope it gets the attention it deserves because it's very clever. It's very good.
Yeah, I would definitely put this on the top three of spider films.
Yeah, I would give this one a 3.5 knives.
I'm going to give it a 3.5 knives as well.
Yeah, it's a very fun movie. This one, it is rated R, but it's not too horrifying. You know, it's not like you're going to go set someone down and watch torture porn. So if you have someone, I'd say, I know technically you can't go into this unless you're 17, but if I'd say 13, 14 is old enough to watch this personally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was minimal cuss words. It's more the gore.
Yeah.
It's definitely the gore and the stuff there's like...
And the tension of it and that.
Yeah, the visuals of like what the spider does, it is horrifying. It definitely deserves the rated R. But in today's world, a 13 or 14 year old would be able to watch this.
Yeah, I've seen way worse, way hardcore, more hardcore movies rated R than this. So I would have done this a PG-13. They could have probably got away with PG-13 if they had trimmed a few of the cuss words out, to be quite honest.
No, I think it was the gore. I definitely think it was some of the imagery was very strong. Like, I was just like, whoa, that's intense, you know, especially for like a spider to do. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I guess so.
But then also, that's the beauty of making it an alien spider, because it's going to be stronger than just a normal spider.
Yeah.
You know?
It survived a crash from a comet. It can definitely fuck up some normal people.
Oh my gosh. Comet spider. You know, just when you thought you were safe, like, Raid was not going to take this one out.
No.
Like, I mean, obviously, the exterminators came and they did their jobs, and that was like, whatever to it. Didn't faze it at all.
That was just like putting deodorant on when they sprayed it with
And I was like, oh, what lovely perfume.
Yeah, thank you for scenting things up for me. I enjoy it.
Well, we really thoroughly enjoyed this film, and we both agreed and gave it 3.5 knives.
Yeah.
So you guys should check it out.
It'll be released in theaters April 12th. I'm not sure if there's a video on demand or a streaming date after that, but we will keep you posted on it.
Thank you for joining us on this episode, and stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.